What does an entrepreneur mean to you?
It means to be able to get up in the morning, motivated to put things together for yourself, not for someone else. And that's the difference.
When I think about father issues in Black people, it's sort of like Black people and Aki.
Mostly when I got married and like living with somebody else, you learn about yourself more. 100%. And you learn that
everybody's head shaking here right now. It's like
I see how hard my parents have worked, even my father too. And
even my father.
You're making somebody else rich, honestly, and like they don't value the work that you put in. And if I took the time to put in that work there, put it on myself, then I could probably blow up.
Welcome back to the If You Build a Podcast. Reed Ali alongside
Will Ellis.
That's your name?
It is. You know, this podcast, this is episode number 24. Episode 24. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and on Apple Podcasts. Our guests today are mother-daughter. They look like sisters, or should I say sisters? Yes. The way Black people say it, right? Yes. Janelle Walker and Barbara Murdoch, authors, businesswomen, and family. Welcome to If You Build It, the podcast.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I thought we would start with your books. I think it's fascinating when people write. Because I think writing, I don't write well, and I think writing is a true skill. Mm-hmm. And so you wrote a series of books. Let's talk about the secret book that you brought first.
Yeah. So I wrote a book called Breaking the Chains, and like it's a guide to healing from daddy issues and building healthy relationships.
Why is that? Being a Black person, I would know nothing about that.
It was like a time, not even that long ago. I think I wrote it like 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was sitting down at home and I'm just like going through life. And, you know, you're not really depressed, but you're just trying to figure out what's wrong in certain aspects of your life. You just feel stagnant.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I just did the degree and then I went right into Write at Home. So I never really actually had the aspect to like use it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just actually diagnose myself.
And so what was the process in writing this book?
Just going through life challenges. And I started reading more about like the issues that daddy issues cause.
Right.
And I started being like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, I have this. Like, oh my gosh. And then when I started writing, I just started like taking like scholarly things and just kind of putting them together. And I'm like, gosh, like I actually can help other people. It really just helped me first to figure out my issues. And then I'm like, I started writing it down. Before I knew, I had like a whole 2 pages and I was like, oh my gosh, okay.
So when you're formalizing your notes, you start writing like chapter one, or do you just make a page of notes and then?
So like kind of copied like what they said, like step one, you have like, what's it called? Detachment issues.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I have this. Like, why do I have this? I started going deeper into it and figuring it out myself and then adding it simply more and more to me. And then little by little, just started becoming a book.
What led you to this point when you realized that, and you're young, what are you now, like
25? 28.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. No, honestly, I had a whole mental breakdown the other day when I figured out how old I was.
She's almost 30.
I'm almost 50. Let's say you're young.
You're mid-40s.
I'm 46. I'm riding up to 50.
Yeah. But he ages himself fast.
50 is going to be tough. What moment, like, you just got married.
Yeah.
So all these changes probably brought this on.
Yes.
So what have you learned about yourself coming out of writing this book?
A lot. Mostly when I got married and like living with somebody else, you learn about yourself more. Yep, and you learn that
everybody's head shaking here right now. It's like
they said marriage is hard, but I thought it was hard for other reasons. I didn't know it was hard because of yourself.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I learned that like I have issues. It's not him, it's me. Like, yep. So I thought, instead of me breaking down this relationship, let me figure out what the issues were.
Right.
So I started like reading more and just like, I went to therapy and like, I learned a lot about myself. And I was just therapy. Like, okay, so now I went to therapy. Let me be the therapist for myself now. I can't afford it at this moment. Let me like figure things out.
About the rest of the books? What are they about?
It kind of like goes through questions to ask yourself as well. Like, write things down, how to build a healthy relationship after the fact of figuring out your daddy issues, like how to build that relationship. So it's just kind of like asking yourself questions. I don't remember every aspect of it now, but asking yourself questions and then formulating like a kind of like a journal. And then when you figure out the journal, it's like, okay, now I can heal from that. And I kind of just like heal from each aspect and through it out.
Do you fully heal from it though?
No, but you learn how to work through each thing, right?
Right. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect. That's amazing. All right. And then your book that I knew about.
Yeah.
called Jaden's First Fade. Mm-hmm. Show us the book first. Show the camera the book.
So this is the Breaking the Chains one.
Yes.
And then I wrote Jaden's First Fade.
What's the order? What should you do first?
So this one was first, Breaking the Chains. And then Jaden's First Fade came. And then Shine Bright Little Stars came after.
Right.
Okay. What's the inspiration? Sorry about that. What's the inspiration behind the other two?
So psychology degree again. After writing the healing book, I was like, let me go back to what I enjoyed. I remember when I was younger, I used to like writing stories all the time. Like I was like the most creative person. And then I got to about, what grade was it, Mom? Like, four? Grade four.
No, grade four, yeah.
Grade four. I had a horrible teacher who made me feel like I was
nothing.
Stupid, pretty much. Like I couldn't write. So I just stopped writing. I pretty much became like a person that didn't write. I barely talked. I just stayed to myself.
It's amazing how one important figure in your life can make a life change for you.
Yes. Exactly. So I said, I'm healing. Why don't I just go back to what I love? So I wrote Jaden's First Fade, kind of just like the fear that kids have going to a barbershop. And I was like, you know, I have a barbershop. Why don't I just write about it too? Mm-hmm. So I wrote about it in that sense. And then,
And then the second book was the Shining Bright Little Stars. What was the inspiration behind that book?
So I remember my mom reading the book, I Love You Forever by Robert Munsch.
That's a classic. Yeah.
And I remember always remembering that little song she used to make with the words. Yeah. And I was like, okay, why don't we make a book for Black kids that they can kind of have that affirmations that they can remember growing up so they can sing that to themselves growing up. So I kind of made like Shine Bright Every Day kind of thing.
Two books for you, Joseph.
He's becoming a father.
Congratulations.
You can take these.
In a matter of weeks, you'll be an old father in his 40s. Good luck with that. As you know, I have no kids. So, someone's here to help you.
Uncles.
There goes your hair.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, Barbara, you wrote a book called A Guide to Opening a Successful Barbershop.
That's correct.
Now, this is where I want to focus because, you know, I used to have hair and I would spend hours back in the day every Saturday. Mm-hmm. I used to go to a dump place in South Oshawa. It's like almost 20 years ago when I had hair, and spend the community that barbershops create.
It's a culture.
The culture.
Yeah.
You know, remember Ken Swan used to work in our office?
Yes.
So I remember Ken came one time with me to the barbershop. He's like, what? Like his face, but the haircut was, amazing, but that's not his environment.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? A white gay man going to a barbershop. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But what was the inspiration behind the book?
So the book was written based on the fact that I wanted to show people how they could also do it. So let's say, for example, I said from clippers to contracts. Mm-hmm. So sometimes barbers, they're thinking, okay, what's next? What's next? Should I open a shop? Should I not? Stuff like that. What does it entail? Things like that. So I said, okay, why not just create a guide for someone that they will actually open it from the beginning to the end.
Right.
So I said, if I do that, they'll actually get a chance to get everything in fine print.
Exactly.
And it allowed me to go through step by step. I'm like, oh my God, the memories. And I remember when I opened the shop, we didn't really have like, a go-to person.
Right.
Right? We actually just did our own research, did our thing, and then allowed the barbershop to unfold by itself, learn through experiences, things like that.
Right.
So the book, honestly, is something that if you're thinking about becoming a barbershop owner, even if you're not even a barber yourself, and you just want to be entrepreneurial, that's it.
Right.
The guide definitely helps you.
And is it geared to more male barbering or female or both?
Both.
Now, as Black women owning a barbershop, you know, what was the idea of you guys getting into that business? And, you know, and what I guess what is the biggest hurdle?
A letter answer.
Okay, so let's break it down. What happened is when my ex-husband left, I said to myself,
"Daddy issues." Yeah.
I said to myself, "You know what? This ain't gonna cut it." I was doing like 2-3 jobs, and I said, "I'm here. I'm getting the money. That's not the problem. But I'm so tired.
Right.
I got 3 kids. One in university. One in twin high school.
Right.
I'm like, okay, this is it. This is it." So one day I said to them, "I'm gonna open a business." Everybody looked at me like, "Huh?" And then I said, "What business?" And then we're discussing. And I said, "Honestly, I'm gonna open a barbershop." "Why barbershop? Where did that come from?" I'm like, "You know what? I thought about it for a couple of days. And that's the kind of business I think I want to be in. I know they make money there. I know that made me money."
Yes.
And on top of that, it's for the community.
Right.
People are always coming and going. And my son had a experience. Never forget that day when I brought him to the barbershop, one in Whitby. And I dropped him off after school. And I said, "I'll pick you back up. Call me." You know, the usual.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours. Still no kid.
That's normal.
I said, "Oh, what the heck is going on here?" So I called. I messaged him and he said, "Oh, I'm still waiting." I'm like, "Hell no. You're still waiting 4 hours after? After school, homework should be done and stuff like that." Now his haircut came home and I said, "This ain't happening ever again."
And it was horrible cut.
It wasn't a good cut.
He rounded up his head.
It wasn't a good cut. And I said to them, my family, "Open barbershop. I'm going to do things different." Like what you said, you're not waiting. Appointment settings only.
That was the biggest problem.
Appointments only.
Riyadh, tell us about your...
When I was younger, I was okay. I like going, waiting, you know, talking to everybody, you know, talking basketball.
Yeah.
That was the thing. But then as you get older and you have a career...
Exactly.
You can't wait 3 hours for a haircut or 2 hours for a haircut. I've walked out. You know, and I had one guy I used to go to all the time. And as soon as he wasn't doing appointments, I stopped.
Whoa.
I started looking for appointments because I need to know, okay, at 2:00, I have a haircut, and at 2:30, I'm out of there.
Thank you. Yep. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And that's why I opened a shop.
So that's how you guys do it.
That's how we do it.
Name of your shop is?
Less Cuts.
In Whitby, in the same plaza as the Springwood.
Yes.
The Springwood.
One of our favorite restaurants.
Favorite restaurant in Whitby. And so outside of now that situation with your son,
mm-hmm.
getting into the business, that's pretty much a male-dominated business.
Yes.
Is that one of your biggest hurdles, being females in a man's world, pretty much?
I think it was the biggest thing is the employees and them not appreciating the women, per se. They wouldn't say it outright.
Right.
But you can tell off of the vibe you get, and you're just like, but we know what we's doing. Like,
Was that the first shop?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long has it been in business now?
5 years.
5 years now. We're doing our 5-year anniversary.
This Bless Cuts, what's in Whitby, is that you just did this 5 years ago?
Yes.
5 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
I thought you said something before that. So, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's impressive. Yeah.
And how did COVID affect you?
A lot.
Yeah, that was a trying time. But you know what? We took the negative and turned it to positive. We sat down and we said, you know what, guys? We got to press. We got to do things aggressively. So that time I had banners up, billboards up.
Everything.
Everything you could find. Figure out how to do Google ads, everything. And then I remember when people were coming, let's say from Toronto.
Oh, wow.
And Markham. In more than one time they were closed, like Toronto was closed and we were open in Durham.
Right.
Amazing time for us.
Right.
Because they came and like, come on down. So it worked out well. So although we had an opening close,
right,
it didn't make it bother us. It just pushed and went through.
Wow.
And that's usually what sets you apart from other entrepreneurs, is pushing through, staying focused.
Staying focused.
How many barbers do you guys have?
Right now? About 7.
Yeah.
So interesting. And you said the employees are the hardest part of the business to manage.
We've had right now, we're good.
Right.
That's the blessed part.
Yeah, we're good right now.
We've seen some barbers. Hurdles.
Yeah, so when you had problem barbers,
mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? Because, I mean, I think this is a good story for people that have a salon, maybe a regular salon or a another business to have an employee that's essentially a contract employee, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, how do you manage that?
So let's say, for example, in the book what I wrote, there's a whole chapter on how to hire the right people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So what we look at is what your plan is up years from now. Yes. Some people are only there for like part-time because they're going to school.
Right.
I don't say no to those people because I find that sometimes they're the ones who carry the shop.
Right.
They're driven. They have school, right? But they're ready to work instead of going to a regular McDonald's something to work. They're a barber.
Right.
So it helps them to move to the next step until when they get to school or finish school, right? So I find that people like that helps. I don't take, somebody's full-time, they're there all the time. But I honestly realize that that's what helped us along the way. And if somebody is like out of line, we have a discussion after that.
They usually fire themselves.
Exactly. After a while, that I tend to leave or that I end up leaving.
Yeah.
So you set the expectation pretty early on. Right. So, okay. Interesting. Because I think
every barber that we've had, we've learned something to put in place from that. Yes. Like every time you learn, you're like, nope, from this day forth, we're not doing that no more. And then we implement the next thing. Yeah.
So you opened 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's your role now? So you it's up and running, 7 barbers. What's your role currently? And where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, honestly,
great question.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm the CEO. She's my partner. She handles marketing. So she's on the back end. Nobody really sees her. But they see me at the front. I'm there probably 3 days a week, sometimes 4. Depends on what the situation is. And my son, the same one with the bad haircut, he's now the head barber.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, does your husband work there? Am I wrong?
No, just my brother.
Your brother. Okay.
So it works. Working nicely and we're happy.
Any issues with it being a family run business at times with time, with managing your time, etc.?
I just find like if you want to go out as a family, we have to like always plan around the shop.
Yeah. Right. Or travel.
So, travel. Yeah. We can't just all travel together. We tried that. It got bad reviews the second day we were there.
We're on the resort and I was like, okay.
We hear, and then we're like,
it's 2 days only. Like,
what did you guys do? And so it was, I think that's the biggest aspect of it, but we're all grown. So it's not like we always want to hang out together. So it's just like, you good, bro? Yeah, all right, have a good day. My mom, when she comes home, I'm telling her, like, come home. Like, you're tired. Like, come home now. But other than that, no.
So is your plan to open more?
Yes.
For sure.
Where?
Oh, I was looking into more east.
Yeah. Like Belleville.
Yes.
Belleville and Coburg area. I don't like.
Surprised how many ethnic people are out in Coburg.
Yeah. They are. That's what I'm saying.
Surprising.
And I was there the other day and I was like, this place is built up.
Yeah. It is. Great restaurants.
Yes.
Great. Like that downtown part of Coburg is really nice.
Love it.
Beautiful.
So we're ready for the next step.
Now, do you guys you have another question? Oh, no, you looked at me with, you gave me a cut eye for a second. You guys are just doing cuts or do you do braid? Like, do you do women's hair as well?
Yes. So we also have stylist.
Okay.
That was expansion to the business. So like I said, there were 7 barbers we have. But we have two girls right now, which are actually stylists. They do the braids, they do the girls' hair too, women hair. And they do everything. The weaves, the locks, everything.
Oh.
And then
That's probably a growing part of the business.
Yes.
They're seeing it more and more everywhere, right?
Everywhere, yes. And we also had, I say the word had, tattoos. This is the 5th year, but we just decided to stop because of the fact that it wasn't really bringing in the right, you know, because what happens sometimes, people come like the artists and then it doesn't work out.
Right.
So, you know what, probably I should just ease off of that part.
Yeah.
But people were really and truly loving it because they come there for tattoos too.
It's a one-stop shop.
One-stop shop, right?
Right.
And one of my mom, which is also part of the business, recently, because she's retired, she decided to come on board too, as she's a licensed hairstylist. That's crazy how everything worked out.
True family
without
business.
Even thinking about it. Right. Yeah.
You guys sell products and stuff as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I have that to cut, but yes, I should go.
Yes. Awesome. We have some talented barbers and people come in. Even one today, I saw a review that came through and the person said, you know what? I come up in here. It does feel good. It feels like family. Mm-hmm. And I saw, I was like, it warmed my heart to hear that.
Yes.
They felt it too.
Right.
And then that's people, the energy.
People can book an appointment through your app?
Through
the app. That's huge. Not every barbershop has that yet.
No.
We have Instagram. We have the website. Very easy.
And what's your Instagram?
Blessed_cuts.
Now, when you guys are not working, mm-hmm. which is not often, you guys are closed Sunday, I would hope.
No, open every day, actually.
Every day.
Seriously?
Monday to Sunday.
Barbers rotate.
Yeah.
They rotate.
When you are not working, where do you guys go to hang out for restaurants in the community?
We love Star Apples.
Love it. It's funny we're saying that. Like, Star Apples is like
the moment
we went. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I know where that is.
Yes. It's good.
Love it.
Any place like in this area?
We go to a couple of them. Like, for example, we're at the Brew House.
Yeah.
Oh, the Canadian Brew Pub?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. The rooftop?
Yeah. Yes. I love the rooftop.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I have never been to the Springwood yet, which is amazing because
you need
I
to
know
you
the owner and everything, but I haven't had a chance to go. As yes. you said, time.
Like, yes.
You got to go home, get dressed. Like, okay, yes. Okay, I got to get there.
And they're booked. They're busy. Very busy.
But they're good. They're good. Yes.
When's the next book coming out?
I don't know yet, honestly. When the inspiration hits again.
Like, would you write a novel about, like, you know, because when I think about father issues and black people, it's sort of like black people and Aki. And so it sort of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right. Would you write a novel or do a podcast or do something on
that? I actually want to do a podcast of my book and like kind of like go through it and help people heal kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. I just never.
Because you took psychology. So you took my wife has a psychology degree as well. And it's a degree on people.
Exactly.
Right. So you're sort of figuring out yourself and being able to sort of market what you do to others. Could be a big thing.
It could be for sure. I gotta just sit down and like do it. Just pretty much.
Yeah, because it's interesting because your story is like, you know, mother daughter support each other's respect. Mm-hmm. Your family, you got some family issues because of the dad.
But you've pulled together.
We pulled together.
Yeah,
that's an amazing story. Interesting.
Can writing ever be a full time career for you?
Honestly, I want to be an entrepreneur in any aspect. So I know I can't make it with one stream of income.
Right.
But that would be one stream for sure. I don't think I'm going to do just book writing, but.
And all these books are available on Amazon.
Correct, yeah.
And then so you just type in the title and it will come up.
You can just type in Janelle Walker and it'll show all three books up there.
And then your book's also on Amazon
also
as well.
Also on Amazon, yes.
As well. And so everything good? Oh, everything's good? Perfect. Interesting. I just lost my question because you got up. What is the question I had for you? So you're, again, the mother, the matriarch of the family.
Yes.
Running a business. Are you inspired by seeing your kids work in the business? Like, what keeps you going? Because as a mother, you said you worked three jobs like my mom did, and then now you're working.
Yeah.
You're also able to enjoy seeing your children work in the same environment.
Exactly. What it does is, as I said, I worked so hard before.
Right.
That I decided whenever someone make a change, I say, for example, someone wants to do something special. My daughter does event planning, things like that. It does motivate me because I know that they're all entrepreneurs under all of that. So right. I know that, like, I know Jenny works separately, but under all of that, she has amazing talent. So therefore, they're going to be entrepreneurs in the long run. Might not be right now fully, but they're all going to be.
So in the 5 years of running a business, was there ever a point in time where you're like, I don't know if this is the right choice.
Honestly, sometimes I cross your mind for a split second. Then I remember God got me.
Mm-hmm.
God got me. So I'm like, okay, calm down, relax. God got
you.
And being an entrepreneur, like, because you worked probably for other people, mm-hmm, right? You said you worked three part-time jobs. What does an entrepreneur mean to you?
It means to be able to get up in the morning motivated to put things together for yourself,
mm-hmm,
not for someone else. And that's the difference.
That. Yep, love that. And for Janelle, being a young, not even 30-year-old entrepreneur, what is that? I mean, you work a full-time job.
Yeah.
You work with us. We appreciate you. Do not leave.
Exactly. As much as you want to be an entrepreneur, stay there.
We're all about to be entrepreneurs until it impacts us. So let's get that out there right there. Do not let it. Remember when Karen left how mad I was?
Yes.
Right? I was annoyed with Karen. What was that? And Trish? I was annoyed because you got used to seeing someone 100%. Every day in the office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they're not there. And you warm up. I warmed up to you. You've been there for about 5 years now?
Seven, actually.
Seven? No.
Yeah, 7 years.
About this? She's here for a while.
Were you at the old office as well?
Yeah. I was there when they first moved from there to.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that long.
So I know I was first, I was shocked the other day when I seen the number. I was like, damn, I've been there for way too long.
When Linda left, I was like devastated.
Yes, 100%. But what does it mean? Now, you work full time, but being an entrepreneur part time.
Yeah.
You know, what are you getting out of it? Because a lot of people your age have side hustles.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. So why are you doing it?
Honestly, she's my inspiration for sure. Like, I see how hard my parents have worked, even my father too. And
even my father.
I just realized, like, you're making somebody else rich, honestly, and like they don't value the work that you put in. And if I took the time to put in that work there, put it on myself, and I could probably blow up, like,
exactly.
Right? And I feel like I want to create generational wealth. Like, I don't want to just stop with just me. Like, from she started it, I want to continue the wealth and the generations to come, my kids, my kids' kids, everybody should, we should be big ballers at the end of the day. Like, I want everybody to be living good, you know? But I want to know how hard work, like where it started from. So I got to work hard first.
Back to the barbershop. I'm pretty intrigued.
Yes.
No, there's something I have to ask you. So you said that you were thinking about what you can do. What was about a barbershop that was the, you said this is going to be it.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought about the money first. Everybody would think about money first when it comes to business, right?
Why wouldn't you think
and
about
And something hit me one day when I said to myself, like, what is it that I could do that would never die?
Yeah.
Never die. People always want haircuts. They always want to get themselves looked after, right? Yeah. That's why COVID became a challenge for people.
Yes.
Because if the doors are shut, you can't get what you want. People had to go buy their own clippers, do their own thing, stuff like that. Right?
It was like black market haircuts.
Underground, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I had a couple of those.
Yeah, a lot of garage,
I think haircuts. People made a lot of money during that time.
Yeah. But people were doing like mobile stuff, things. Yes, it did affect us as a business because we couldn't do that, right? But as I said, the whole thing is if you can have a business that does that, brings in money every day for you that way, why not?
Right.
That was my inspiration. Everybody needs a look, a fix up.
Yeah. And everyone needs a haircut.
Everybody needs something.
And a beard to be trimmed up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so interesting.
Well, and men are the most loyal to their barbers, even more than their women. So
they are.
Really?
They are.
Yes. Actually,
that is true.
I was like that until I told you the story, until I grew my hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now I have a problem, right? Yeah. I always had fades, right?
Yeah.
And then when I grew my hair long, I had a problem finding somebody to cut the top of my hair.
Yes.
Yeah. Who did you find?
I'm still looking. I mean, I go, you know this. I go all over the place. Vaughn, Markham.
Vaughn, yeah.
Well, you found
you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
You should go to Blessed
like
Cuts.
Family.
I need a haircut right now. So there you go.
Yes, I think you should get one.
I'll book an appointment for you today.
On the app. Now, another question regarding your, so you are expanding potentially to other areas. Would you expand the current location and move to another part of Whitby, or is the location you think perfect?
I think it's perfect because right on Dundas,
it's a great location.
It's perfect. Because from the, I guess I'll tell you guys this part too. Like, I remember when I usually live North Oshawa. I would drive down that area and I always look over there and say, that's where my business is going to be. That's where my business is going to be.
Yeah.
And we looked at many locations.
But you know what was there before?
Yeah, huh? We do.
Yeah, you know what was at your location before?
Oh, yeah.
You were like, good location though. It was an adult.
Oh, okay. It was. You guys leave me hanging here.
It's all shop.
Yeah, it was. And it was one of the, I remember I talked to an agent that runs that plaza and he's like, they still make money. I was like, how? 2017, how are you making money? But yeah, interesting. So you had a vision before you had a plan.
Exactly. I remember one time we got the shop. I remember walking with the key and I sat there and looked at everything. And then I went home and like designed it, the place. And then the shop looks exactly the way I designed it.
You gotta see this.
Exactly the way. And it's 1,400 square feet. It looks small, but it's a big place. Like,
This is, I don't know what this basement is, but is it the same size as this basement?
No, it's way bigger.
Really?
It goes
It looks
down.
Narrow, but it's long.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, where can we find? Are we almost done here? Yeah. Well, did you? Okay, good.
I have a question.
You have a question? Yeah. Oh, as a black man with the hair?
No, that's
yes.
We'll ask.
Yes. Please ask your question there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you. Just give you guys permission to answer the question. This is so nice.
Mm-hmm. God.
Mm. Oh, woo.
Jesus. That's the only person, honestly.
We're just going to say the same thing.
God, yeah.
All God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Foundation, for sure. The rock.
As I always say, Beska is built on a foundation.
Yeah.
That God handles everything.
We pray out of that place every day.
So,
less cuts.
Even people who work there, I have a meeting coming up, and the first thing I'm going to do is pray. I believe in that.
And they're all Christian. Which we didn't actually plan. They just gravitated towards it. Yes.
So we're thankful for that. Yeah.
Wow. That was a quick answer. Anything else to add there, Rian? Oh, great interview. See how easy that was?
So what are your socials? How can people find you? Book appointments?
Sure. So it's blessed_cuts. And you can go to the website blessedcuts.ca. And there's a book now link at the top there. My Instagram is too blessed. I don't know. What is yours, man? BK exclusive.
My Instagram is BK exclusive. Really, there's not much stuff on it right now, but lots more stuff are coming because, as I said, the book will be there, the link will be there, and you could go on Amazon also and buy it. Then show my book. Let me show my book.
Yes,
there you go.
I don't remember my notes went, but yes, show your books. Yes, and again, you are like 4 books here, amazing,
mm-hmm.
inspirational books, and Janelle as a black person who also had father issues. I think your focus on that, very, very important. And I think you should continue writing a series or a mm-hmm. blog or a something
about it
because I think it will resonate with a lot of people.
Exactly.
I think so too.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. That's it, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you for coming. And I hope you're not too cold. The AC is pumping today in this heat wave. And thank you guys. We'll see you soon. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.